We're going to talk about peace of mind in troubled times. And we don't like to think about that while we're at the feast. But we might think about peace while we're here, because it's a very important part of the kingdom of God. And we'll get into that as we continue. Well, we want to open with prayer right now. So if you'll just pause a moment. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your blessing, and we thank you for this wonderful time and this facility that you've provided for us here. We ask that you'd open our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us this day. It seems though you've been working out through the messages of the various individuals in the Bible studies and the activities, a wonderful thing for us, a portrayal of your coming kingdom. And we want to know what we have to do, what we need to do, to be adequately prepared to be the bride of Christ. We thank you now for your goodness and ask that you would just be with us now, inspire us, and open our ears and our eyes to understand the peace that we have in you. Blessed be your name. We thank you in Yeshua's name. I'll probably say Yeshua. I might say Jehovah instead of Yahweh, maybe. Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh of the Old Testament. So I'll interchange them because I've been, not intentionally, I try to read what it says in the scriptures. But, you know, I don't know if you've been watching the news, and just before you got here, we heard about the Ebola scare. We understand about the ISIS, the Islamic State, and all that they've done and what they're doing. And I'm glad there aren't two, well, maybe he's a little bit small, but it was really, I read a news clipping that was sent, and what the ISIS state is doing with the Christians and the non-Muslims and taking the women and young children and using them as sex slaves and selling them for as little as $10 or $12. And they do this to entice more recruits for their armies. And some of them had their cell phones with them, some of these women, and some people had been able to contact them, and they were actually in contact with what is going on with these women. And it's just appalling, and I don't want to go into that vivid detail right now, but there is a horrible world out there, and we're so thankful for the message that we heard the first day, that the need for God's kingdom. So we have all of the other types of persecutions around the world, even picking up USA Today and just reading the headlines is enough to take and send chills up and down your spine. We think about the terrible swings in the stock market. They said they're rattled. So that's pretty bad. About the tragic tide of suicides, as much as 4 an hour. That's in the U.S. The other thing is that there many of the other diseases and that, we have been able to bring down their count. But on the for suicide, it is rising by 31%. So there's really a lot going on in this world that has much to do with our peace of mind, if you would. Okay, we know this. I typically read, because most of it's scripture, that's about all I'm going to go over, maybe make a few comments in the meantime. I use the NAS version, and any bolding or truncating or highlighting is done by me. My name is John, by the way, John Campo, and I'm from Michigan. I'm from the western side of the state, so don't hold that against me. So I really think this is really a beautiful location here. So this we know, there is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. All right, so the peace we're going to talk about is what the wicked don't understand. And the path of peace they have not known. And Jeremiah says about those that are maybe in religious physicians. It actually is talking about the scribes in Jeremiah 8. And they heal the brokenness of the daughter of my people superficially, saying, peace, peace, but there is no peace. And then in Romans 8, 6, Romans 8 is probably one of my favorite chapters. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. So this is what we are striving for, is the life of peace. Now, what started this for me some time ago, here's a book. It's listed on here if you want to. I really recommend this book. It's easy to read. It's only one page per day. It's 365 pages. It's a one-year Christian history by E. Michael and Sharon Rustin. It's the ISBN number. A friend of mine from church, the group where we gather with, he said, I mentioned that I really like kind of church history. And he says, well, I got a book. He said, I read it. I'm not too interested in it. Some of you are probably not interested in it. So he gave it to me. Unfortunately, this is not it, because I left it on my desk when I left Michigan. So I went out and bought one over here at BAM. Anybody hear of BAM? BAM is Books a Million. I didn't know that, but I learned that real quick. Got the last one on the shelf, by the way, over there. So I purchased it because what I wanted to do, mine had all a bunch of little markers all in mine, and I was just saying, well, when I get to the feast, I'll thumb through here and I'll find the one that I want to read that'll apply to peace. Because what started my thought on this is that there's so many scriptures in here, so many incidents, history, about churches, or about people that were persecuted, that were martyrs. Not only that, there's a lot of good things, but it's just a history, especially during the Reformation. It's about those that wanted to convert, you know, change the Latin Bible or the Greek or whatever into the English so the common man could understand it. So a lot of that is in here. Now, I got this one so the other day, so I quick marked it, and I said, this is the one I'll read. I said, my wife, while I was working on a little bit of this, I said, why don't you read through here and see if you can find one that might be applicable? So she found another one. So I have two markers. If we have time, I'll get into it. If we don't, we're going to have to skip that. But it is a good book. There's one on here, the Mankato. Is that it? Minnesota? Mankato, right? Mankato. And the Indians there, the Sioux Indians. Well, I thought, well, wow, we got Sioux City, Sioux Falls, maybe Sioux Indians. So that's the one I was going to read. But my wife, she wanted to talk about this guy that led the head of the Air Force for Japan that led the attack on Pearl Harbor. He was a general. He was the one that was over the whole Air Force, led that attack to kill millions. Well, not millions. It seemed like it for us here at that time. Well, we know this all. We know for sure the wicked, they don't have peace. We also, James says, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it all a joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Now, Alan Gilman of the Torahbites Communications wrote this. I enjoy his, I get his emails. While trouble and trauma are common human experiences, God did not design us to face such things on our own. Be thankful for that. You hear it? Even though that's common for all human experience, trials and tribulation, He did not design us, this is important, to do this on our own, to face it. So we read in Psalm 29:11, then Jehovah, the Lord, will give strength to His people. Jehovah will bless His people with peace. So that's what we're talking about. Here's a bit of wisdom. It was written, I adapted this from Dale Precepts. Are you agitated over injustices in the world and other offenses? I am. I'm a person that just can't stand it when I read about what the ISIS is doing to these women. Are you tense because of worries and cares and woes? Apply this to your own situation. I don't know what it is. It may be a mate that's not behaving the way that we think that they should. Or a child that's maybe left the faith. What steals your peace? Yeshua came to give you peace, and you should avoid anything that would take it from you. Cast your cares on Him, and don't let external circumstances rob your inner peace. So that's our part, our challenge, is try to refrain from this. Now, this was my kind of my little introduction in the paper, but it's been modified a little bit. Peace, or shalom. The Hebrew is shalom. It's an element of eschatological expectation. That means the end time. So what does that mean for us? And those that understand the plan of God, pictured by the feast days, should also understand that Jesus will establish peace after His second coming, Advent. But what about you? What about you today? What about today? Are we, as His people, in every aspect reflecting the nature and values of the Prince of Peace? And that's what we are, our witness. What are we doing? We overcame the evil by our witness, the evil one. So is our witness one of peace? Can we say with the psalmist, "In peace I will both lay down and sleep, for Thou alone, O Jehovah, dost make me to dwell in safety"? Well, that has a little further token, because I was going to base this a lot about martyrs. In fact, this is a 28-page document, so don't let me get carried away. We know how to feast at the Feast of Tabernacles, but is that the total essence of the kingdom of God? What do we read in Romans 14:17? "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." And we also know, because the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith. I don't know if it's been brought to your attention, but it's brought to my attention that everybody thinks, well, you know, I've got love, and that person's got joy, and this person over here's got peace. He said, no, there's only one Spirit. Those are all fruits of the Spirit. So each one of our lives should show these fruits. "By their fruits you shall know them." Isn't that what He told us? So we should be expressing these things continually. If you seem agitated in front of others, we're not displaying peace. Peace is a basic tenet or principle of the kingdom constitution. Now, this is my, I put that in there, because what do you think is the constitution of the kingdom? You know, when Yeshua came, He spent a special time in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and He went up there and He taught, and He laid down the principles of His kingdom. And He said there in Matthew 5:9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." So we have a blessing. And then glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, or on earth, peace among men with whom He is pleased. I heard this on the way down here. I have satellite radio in my vehicle. I drove. My wife and I, we went up, through the UP. And I saw the colors, went rove along Lake Superior, and it was beautiful. Sun radiating on this, and you could see His handiwork. It was just marvelous. I was revived through that little thing. But one of the commentators on with a satellite radio, I listen to Family Talk, and that's kind of a religious Christian station. And one guy said, "We are blessed so we can bless." And I had to think about that a while. And he said, God blessed Abraham. I think we saw those scriptures today. And God blessed Abraham. And then he told Abraham what? The nations through you shall be blessed. So any blessing that we receive should be passed on to others. All right? We are blessed so we can bless. I edited this for length. The Holman Bible Dictionary. Spiritual peace under spiritual peace. Sense of well-being and fulfillment that comes from God and is dependent on His presence. So without His presence, without His Spirit, we cannot have peace. We won't have the fruit of the Spirit. We won't have His peace. In the Old Testament, the concept of spiritual peace is most often represented by the Hebrew root, SLM, and its derivatives, the most familiar being the noun shalom. Its basic meaning is wholeness or well-being, and such peace is a gift of God. For God alone can give peace in all its fullness. Now, there are some scriptures if you want to look them up. This is a Bible study, but I didn't plan on going to all trying to prove this. We should. All of you are mature Christians. We are children of God. We should be studying our Bible, and we should have the Spirit of God, and we should know this. Spiritual peace may be equated with salvation. It is available to all who trust in God and love His law. And you may quote it. Is it? No. There it is, right there in my first paragraph, right there in the top area. Yes, Psalm 119, verse 165. Yes, those who love the law have great peace and nothing causes them to stumble. And this little note was in Holman's Bible Dictionary. This love is clearly understood to mean obedience. So are we here today in obedience? In the New Testament, the Greek word eirene, if I'm saying it right, corresponds to the Hebrew shalom, expressing the idea of peace, well-being, restoration, reconciliation with God, and salvation in the fullest sense. Enough can't be said. This is a whole message, something that should be a full sermon or whatever, just on peace and reconciliation. God is the God of peace. The gospel is the good news of peace. Now we, former Worldwide and others, we always preach the kingdom of God. But when we go and find out about the armor of God, our feet should be shod with the preparation of the good news of peace. The gospel is the good news of peace because it announces the reconciliation of believers to God and to one another. Further on, I have a whole section on reconciliation, but it is associated with receptiveness to God's salvation, freedom from distress and fear, security, mercy, joy, grace, love, life, righteousness. Such peace is the fruit of the Spirit, as I've mentioned earlier, that forms part of the whole armor of God, enabling the Christian to withstand the attacks of the forces of evil. So if you are being subjected to anything but the peace of God, then we have a problem. And we need to examine our lives and figure out what's holding us back. In both the Old and the New Testament, spiritual peace is realized in being rightly related to God and rightly related to one another. So that's what we're here to do. I've attended feast sites, where there was friction amongst the attendees. That's something that drives me away. Because I know what it says here. I know what God's peace is. It's not the fighting amongst ourselves. Now, I have nothing wrong with, and I will go amongst people and stir them up once in a while if I know they're on a good footing, you know, and I'll challenge them like I did a few today. And they're not here. They didn't even come. They didn't want to get it. They don't want to be, that guy, he's gone off the deep end. Well, forgive me. I shouldn't do that. But I like doing that because how firm is our foundation? And we're standing on the rock. In both the Old and the New Testament, spiritual peace is realized in being rightly related with God and one another. Oh, here's our, I kind of call this our study text, because if anything in the Bible, you know, we always say, well, there's no formula, and there's no one formula, nothing is going to work out. You can't have just a formula for something. And I think this is the closest thing that comes to a formula. And I've got it. In fact, my son brought it to me one day at work when I was working and put it on my desk. And he says, you ought to put this, tape this to your, you know, your ledger there. The NLT version. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Now a key. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. And I've noticed that here. We thank Him for this facility. We thank Him for the holy days. We thank Him for His word, for His spirit, for those that have come together. Be sure, when we have a request, to thank Him for what He's done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than a human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul goes on and says, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned from me and heard from me and saw me doing. And the God of peace will be with you. Pretty simple, right? Well, maybe not so simple, but pretty awesome. All right, the promised peace. Let's go back and make sure that we understand this. In Isaiah 9:6, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Then we go on, and remember Zacharias, and he had this prophecy when he was given back his tongue, could speak at John's birth, naming of John after his birth. And he was talking about the coming Messiah, who it was to guide our feet into the way of peace. So that's his mission, is to guide our feet into the way of peace. Then we have the angels, glory, glory in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased, or those he favors. Then Yeshua said, do you suppose that I came to grant peace on earth? And think about this. I tell you no, but rather division. And the peace of God will surpass all comprehension, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Then he went on to say in John 14, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let your heart not be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid or fearful. And in 16:33, John, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So there's our assurance. I often think about Peter. Peter was a rather bombastic type of an individual while he was a disciple of Yeshua, and he was going around, and he was right up there until the end, and he was, I'll never deny you. And he was, had me with a sword, the first one to step out of the boat. But he ended up denying him, and he ended up changing when the Spirit of God was put upon him, and he became one of the chief apostles. So we need a change of heart too. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace, and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation, and says to Zion, your God reigns. Amen. For the mountains may be moved and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be forsaken, says Jehovah, who has compassion on you. And your feet shall be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Poole says, which being a gospel of peace and bringing the glad tidings of reconciliation to God by Christ. See, this is just not some ethereal, feel-good message. It's the reconciliation. Remember, well, I'm old enough. I used to go to movies when they were black and white. And we used to have the guys fighting there, and they were battling, and I played cowboy and Indians with sticks. That's how old I am. We just really enjoyed that. But do you remember there was always that flag go up, and there was that white flag, and it was kind of a universal system, a universal thing that when you spotted that white flag, hostilities ceased. There was a meeting together of the heads of each side, and they tried to determine if they could have peace. Well, that's what we should be doing too. We should be raising that white flag. We should recognize it as maybe we have something in common here. So let's be peaceable. That was Peter again too. Remember, I said how he was so much of a boisterous leader, and then he became tame. And Yeshua, when he appeared to them several times after his resurrection, he always started out, he said, peace be unto you. That's how he addressed them, peace be unto you. Well, I always wonder, how could Peter, they killed, martyred James, and Herod had thrown Peter into jail. They were going to wait until after Pentecost, or Passover, I'm sorry, and he was going to martyr him. And where was Peter? Down in the hole, shackled between a couple of prisoners, sleeping. You know what? He had peace. That's the same thing these martyrs that I read about in here. Their testimony, when they stood on a gallows and they would stand up and they would announce to the people, they allowed them evidently to speak and to tell something. And they would, I go, wow, this is fantastic. Something really happened to these people. They were born of the Spirit. I can't believe it. And they're there joyfully accepting either the gallows, the guillotine, or the stake with the fire. Wow. That's what made me study peace. They had something that I was still lacking. We used to say, I never know what I'll do at that day, that time. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if I'm going to stand up. Will I deny our master? We should say, there's no way I can deny him. So anyway, this gospel of peace, this reconciliation, because that's what we were. Remember, we were separated from him from the Garden of Eden. We were separated. So what do? We need to be reconciled. And we're reconciled through our master, as it says here, to God by Christ. This prepares men best to undergo the troubles of the world. the gospel of peace. That's what prepares us best to undergo the troubles of the world. Let not your hearts be troubled. Now, this gospel of peace, I just wanted to, it's mentioned in there, Peter preaches Christ to Cornelius and his company. And opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. So we need to fully understand what the peace that we're speaking of here is all about. His promise of peace is not that you will never feel stress, but like temptation, he provides a way of escape. Remember, Alan Gilman said, he never, we're going to have trauma, situations, stress, but he never intended for us to face it alone. He provided a way of escape that we may be able to endure it. Those who do not know him never have peace. We read that, right? The wicked, they don't have peace. Even in pleasant circumstances, surrounded by silence and stillness, for they carry inner turmoil within them. Abide in Messiah, and let his words abide in you, and you will be able to function effectively in every situation. So what can we do? A few minutes here, hopefully. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Here's another statement by Dale Cresap, and I thought it was rather fitting that we should put it in here. I should put this in. It was entitled, Your Path. You know that you should desire to do God's will, but that some uneasy concerns that he might ask you to do something difficult or unpleasant. Do you have concerns about that? He created you with intent, and you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He created you for a purpose, and you are custom built. I don't know if you know that. We are special. No man can come to the Father come to Yeshua except the Father draw him. With a special purpose. If you were given a job, whatever your job is, I don't know, farmer or whatever, and they're given a job. Or let's say we just come to the feast and they say, we'd like to have you head up the children's program over here at the park. So what you do is you go and you select the oldest women and men that you can to kind of, keep together these rambunctious little children. Oh, they have. It's a little fell down and everything. Oh, don't cry. But to get out there and run and play and be with them? No, what you do, you think about it and you figure out what we're going to do, and then you try to select people that fit for that in that category. Well, do you suppose that Yeshua is doing the same thing today? Do you suppose the Father is selecting you? And you, and you, and all of us, for a particular position, you are custom built to perform it. Your calling is His will for you and is perfectly suited for the way He made you. So don't say it's too impossible. Don't say, I can't do that. He made you. Don't you find it a joy and a satisfaction in performing the task that you are perfectly consistent with the essence of your being? So don't be envious of others that have their own path to walk. You will find true joy and satisfaction in the path He has set before you. When I had a job, I'm retired. Well, I work a little bit yet. But I always find satisfaction in doing certain things. But you know, my boss one day said, I want you to head up this project. No, not me. I've been 40 years in this company and I've done all of this. Not that. I don't want that. I want you to head it up. But isn't there somebody? I want you to head it up. That was a real task for me. I had to switch gears. It was like a wall, you know. In our company, we have different divisions. And that division over here, they handle this side of the room. This division over here, and I liked that. I was, you know, I enjoyed all my all over here, this division I was in. I liked that. And they said, I want you to go in that division. I don't want that. That's a division. That's a wall. No, I want you to break down that barrier. I'm still working on it. All right. We are admonished in Scripture. So let's just read it through it real quickly. I kind of truncated some of these things. God is calling us to peace. All right? That's what it says. If possible, so far as depends on you, be at peace with all men. There are a lot of scriptures that tell us how to act and behave with our enemies and those. You know, we are to be at peace, turning the other cheek, heaping, you know, doing good to those that despitefully use you. So then, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Hey, these are scriptures. You don't think peace is important? His kingdom of peace, his gospel of peace. Rejoice, be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace. And the God of peace shall be with you. And let peace, the peace of Christ, rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Remember our scripture there? Ask him. You have any problem? Ask him. Thank him for what he's done. Pursue peace with all men and sanctification, without which no one will see the Lord. And let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. As sons of God, you too are able to impart peace. Now here's the opening in the next 5 minutes before we open this up for discussion, or else I'll have to read out of here. All right. Do you offer casual greetings to your friends and make small talk? Yeshua imparted peace to his disciples. This was not a perfunctory greeting or vague expression of good wishes. It was a deliberate action with real consequences. Do you understand the power of what you say? For your words have meaning and will have an effect whether you speak them with thought or purpose or not. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and by your words you shall be established or shall fall. Therefore, let your words be as well-driven nails, building the kingdom of God by speaking blessings to others. For you too are able to impart peace. This is an interesting thing. Let's see, speak a blessing of peace. We are blessed to be a blessing. Now, this was a strange thing when Yeshua sent his disciples out. Here's what he told them. In whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest upon it. So speak a blessing. I took just a sampling showing the different apostles, and when they were writing their epistles, and the Apostle Paul was one of the ones that just about every epistle that he wrote, he starts right out in the beginning by saying, or at least in the introduction, to all who are beloved of God in Rome, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you think this is just kind of an idle introduction? And he just kind of, well, that's the way you address. When I look up the commentaries, that's what they say. Well, this was just the way. It was just a common, you know, greeting. Like you say, hi, how are you doing? And then you don't listen to what they say when they come back and say, I'm really hurting. And we just go right on. John says, grace, mercy, and peace be with you. the Apostle John. From God the Father and from Jesus Christ. Where are we going to get the peace and the grace? Peter says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Of Jesus Christ our Lord. And Jude, may mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. In Hebrews, now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus Christ our Lord, grace be to you all. So this is grace and peace. Then in the Revelation, now I am on a kick. I think that Revelation is really going to be what we should be studying. This is what it says. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before the throne, his throne. Okay, does anybody have any idea? Where do these apostles, these disciples, and pronouncing in their letters and their epistles to the people, grace and peace? Where did they get this? Does it have any precedence? Was it just something that Yeshua taught them? Any ideas? Well, just look down there, number 622. Let me read that to you. Then the Lord, Jehovah, spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, Jehovah bless you and keep you. Jehovah make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Jehovah lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. So they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and I will bless them. So what were the disciples or the apostles when they addressed this letter? Grace and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. They were invoking the name of the Father unto the people that he was addressing in the body of Christ, that they may be blessed. So there is a precedence. We're not going to go into reconciliation because it's too great a topic to cover now. It is 15 minutes to. Are there any comments? Has anybody got a little testimony of something that they have understood in applying the grace and the peace? Yes. What? Right there? Okay. Anything else? That was easy. Hey, you know, this isn't a nice PowerPoint. This is a Word document, you know, and I'm just, hey, I was back in the days of Cowboys and Indians, you know, black and white movies.
That number 622, they also call that the erotic, they call it the aeronautic.
Blessing?
Yes.
Yes, aeronautic blessing, yes. Thank you. Yes. Yes, Mrs. Dykstra, right? Dykstra, is that right?
Dykstra, yes. I had an incident a while back, a couple weeks ago. I was moving, and I got some really disturbing news. I mean, really upsetting. And so how do we have peace when this is going on? I was angry. I was frustrated. I was busy. And so I have come to believe that we have a big hand in our own peace, in thinking, you read the verse about thinking on peace and joy and happiness. And so it's about what we think. And so that day, I fumed for my few minutes, and then I'm like, that's it. I'm not going to obsess about this all day. I'm busy, very busy this weekend. And so I forced myself not to think about it. So every time my little story started in my head, I just said, shut up. And I just continually, and it took me about a half hour, and then it was gone. And I didn't think about it again until 3 days later when somebody at work said something about some situation in their life. And so, I mean, he will do it, but we have to do our part. I think it's very important that we do our part. Yes, we can pray and ask him to handle it, but we also have to tell that little voice in our head to shut up. Right. And so I've had a lot of working on that, but that was a great experience for me.
Very good. And I just before we came here, I heard a message. I don't like to say sermons, so I say messages usually. But we were at our little church, and the man that was giving the message was about the difference between a crisis and a nuisance. That was the type of it. And he gave instances because he has a company, his own company. He's a partner in the company. And then they're under pressure a lot of times to get their equipment out, get things out. And so he has to daily face these people that come in, you know. Oh, that guy, somebody took the last bolt out of that bin, and I don't know the bolt. I can't get my job done, and on. And it's okay, you know. It's a nuisance, but this isn't a crisis. Now, you may think it's a crisis because of the pressure the boss is putting on you, because he says, we got to get this job out by tonight, or whatever, this weekend. So there are pressures, but we have to learn how to handle them, you're right. And we need to be constantly. One of my habits is that in my prayer time, I have 5 children. And so I take 5 days of the week, and every morning, pray in the morning, that's my regular prayer time, that I would mention one of my children that day, so that they're assigned. My oldest daughter is on a Monday, you know, then the next on Tuesday, and so forth. But then I say the Aaronic blessing over them, even in my prayer time, because I want them, I try to infuse, even though I can't do it and lay my hands on, like we did the other night. That was I really was impressed with the opening of the Sabbath. And the fact that you lay your hands on your children and you impart on them almost identical the blessing, the Aaronic blessing, that they might be blessed and God would take care of them. Anyone else? Right over here. Are you behind you there, Mary?
Normally I would think of peace as an inner condition, not something I could actually pass on to someone else, but I think to hear that we can actually pass on the blessing of peace to others with our words is a good thing, for a good reminder for me.
Thank you. And that's what it is. You know, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So we are. We have a choice of being a peacemaker and imparting that to others. Anyone else? There was a hand here.
You mentioned a new bent you have, kind of on Revelation or something like that. But I have one, too. And it came to me that neither our father or his son ever spoke a word in English. Our English Bibles leave a lot to be desired. So my bent, as I've studied more than any time in my life, the Hebrew and the Aramaic, the words that he spoke and what they mean. And this is a good example, I think, what you have here. Because peace in English means pretty much to most people lack of war.
Yes.
Shalom is an entirely different understanding.
Correct.
It's the peace that passes understanding. So it is about our mind, our hearts, our love, the fruit. It's one of the fruit. If you can't display peace, it's hard to believe you have the Spirit, frankly. So I just commented that I like your theme and not just peace, but peace with the mind. Our minds need to be at peace. So thank you, John.
You're welcome. Anyone else? Shall I read a story? Just one of them? Okay, go ahead. Yes.
I was thinking, too, it would help a lot with coming to peace. We have our diet and environment that also takes away from a lot of our peace that we have to deal with on a continuous basis every day.
Yes.
And, you know, 25, 30 years ago, we didn't have all that problem.
Right. As I mentioned in the beginning about all of the things that are surrounding us through the news media and so forth, it is really, it's hard. It's hard to see the essence of it. And I get agitated again by what I see is going on in the world and the lack of, you know, how our nation makes decisions. But maybe we get what we deserve. Yes, Denise. Denise, is that right?
Yep. I know that if you pray for peace in your life, chaos will reign until you learn how to respond peacefully in all circumstances.
Okay. But God is merciful too, and I think that if we ask Him for peace, now I'm not talking about a total peace, but maybe peace in this situation today, even though I don't deserve it, but I'm asking Him, I'm directing my, let your peace come, you know, work through me, let your spirit, because it's a fruit of the Spirit. And then, of course, we need to repent of our own, for getting ourselves into the situation. That, you know, we got ourselves into this situation. Now we're in a, maybe we've blown a nuisance into a crisis or something like that, which doesn't need to be. Yes, we have our part. That is no, and we need to learn. And we need to follow the, I don't know if how many of you have software programs. That's, you know, that's what I do now. I got it on here, so easy. Do a word search for peace, and I can do it in the New Testament, Old Testament, any book I want, and it'll come up, and I just put it into a Word document. Then I just go through it and look up in commentaries and see what else I can find. But that's why that generated, you know, what do these people have that I don't have? These people that gave their lives. Yes.
Well, I think what Denise was getting at is that God then gives us opportunities in which to learn to be peaceful.
Oh.
Not that He makes us miserable, but He gives us opportunities to learn how to be peaceful.
Well, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Then if that's what you meant, I'm sorry. Yes, He does. Well, I mean, that's what He's doing. He's developing us for our calling. We've got to remember that the body is not all one. Each one of you have a personal calling. You have a specific job in His kingdom. He's called you to fulfill this position. And He wants to train you for it, just like He did the disciples. You know that He always seemed to take just three disciples with Him on key missions, up on the Mount of Transfiguration, into the room where He raised the daughter. And it just says He took Peter, James, and John with Him. Often. So they had a little more, probably, more responsibility that He was bringing them. It was Peter that was the one to confess that He was the Son of God. And, yes?
I think too often we're
could you hang on just a minute? We'll get you a microphone here. Here you go.
I think too often we think of peace as an action, when actually peace is a state of mind. Peace of the mind, a peaceful mind. And Yeshua told us to let this mind be, or Paul told us to let this be mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. I think spiritually, when we let the Spirit work in us, we will have a peaceful mind.
Correct.
And that will bring forth the actions of peace.
That's correct. Yes. We still have to learn to overcome. We still have to learn to use it. Use that spirit. Use that peace. Learn to determine what is a nuisance and what is a crisis.